Welcome to the City Confessions. I'm Marianne Yip, a native New Yorker, and I'm here to discuss all the thoughts that go through the minds of people living in New York City. Since I'm a native who was born and raised in the city that never sleeps, I come across people who are constantly in a rush. I would like to take a moment to sit down and talk about what's on their minds and what keeps them up at night. So sit back and let's dive into these confessions of people I know and people I just met. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to season 8 of the City Confessions. I am so excited that one, I am back, and two, my first guest of the season is Ilana Dunn. She is the host of the podcast, Seeing Other People, whose main mission is to help you feel less alone and more empowered in your dating life. And you all know that that message aligns so much with me. So hi, Ilana, how are you? And welcome.
I'm great. I'm so excited to be here and to be helping you kick off the season. I know you took a little break and we're kind of going through some stuff. So, I mean, I know you're interviewing me, but I kind of want to ask, like, how are you doing?
I'm doing better. And it's funny because today is the first day I'm obviously recording and getting back into the groove of things. And it was only after the hiatus when I realized, oh my God, I missed this so much. But I think it's also important to honor like how you feel and if you need a break. And I know I'll be on your podcast later, so we can talk more about my story, but this episode is all about you. So why don't you introduce yourself to my listeners and tell us who is Ilana today?
Yes, absolutely. So again, thank you so much for having me. So I'm Ilana Dunn. I live in New York City. I am 28 years old. And yeah, seeing other people is really, you know, about helping people feel less alone and more understood, more seen in their dating lives. I really struggled in my dating life. I am now in a really happy and healthy relationship. My boyfriend of a year and a half is actually moving into my apartment next week. Oh. But before that, like any possible dating struggle you can think of, like I've been there and I've felt at rock bottom where I felt like it couldn't get worse. And then it did. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like my, you know, online dating and modern dating experience was so isolating. And it kept making me feel like, well, what's wrong with me? And, you know, why am I not good enough? And why is everybody else deserving of love, but I'm not? And it took me opening up about these things to realize that almost everybody else was feeling the exact same way.
Yeah.
And so that's really why I started seeing other people and started creating all this content online about, you know, how hard dating is, because there's so much out there that's like, hashtag couple goals, relationship goals. Like I manifested my partner and here they are. And like all of these things that it's just almost like toxic positivity and makes us feel even worse. And so I feel like the more realness we can put in to the world, the better.
Absolutely. And I also know you worked at Hinge, right? So was that what kind of inspired you to create your podcast, since both platforms obviously are about dating?
Yeah. So I worked at Hinge for about 2 years. And the first year I was there, I had a strict rule for myself. So backing up, my role was, I ran their social media and my job description was literally like the face of Hinge. So I was like, wow, making videos for Hinge, for their Instagram, for their TikTok, even like going in email blasts to every single user and in app sometimes. And I really didn't want anybody to not want to date me because of what I did. So from day one, I was like, I'm never talking about my personal life. And then fast forward about a year, I had been going through a really tough breakup and I was not in a good place. And I was like, well, I can't just go on the story today and tell everyone these like words of encouragement and that everything's going to be okay when I feel like absolute trash. So instead I just, you know, I'm sitting in a hotel room in Los Angeles about an hour after my ex and I like literally broke up and he left and we said goodbye. Mm-hmm. And I recorded a video about how like, this is really fucking hard and I'm really struggling and I feel really alone. And like, I know they're always asking me for advice, but I want to turn the tables and like just get advice or words of wisdom from like the followers about how they got through times like this. And it was really this light bulb moment where the DMs were flooded more than they had ever been. Mm-hmm. Like the reaction from people were just thanking me. Half the people weren't even sending advice, but they were thanking me for showing this other side that they don't usually see of people on social media. Mm-hmm. And so that was really a light bulb moment for me of like, okay, wow. Like I do this job because I want to help people in their dating lives. And like, I've been doing it all wrong. And there's so mm-hmm. much more that I could be doing if I'm just honest and transparent about how hard it is for me. And so after a while I had the idea like, all right, these stories and like 60-second, 3-minute videos are helpful, but how much more helpful would it be if, you know, we talked about this for an hour with actual expert guests who could mm-hmm. help us. So I actually started a podcast for Hinge called Dating Sucks. And that was really when I was like, oh my God, this is what I want to do with my career.
Oh my God, I love that. It kind of like fell into your lap. And then now I know you recently decided to pursue your podcast career full time. So congratulations.
Thank you.
What made you have that moment when you were like, you know what? I am going to say goodbye to my freelance gigs and pursue it full time, because I'm still in that boat of doing the podcast, but still doing freelancing, still doing my own brand. And I do relate to what, you know, how you felt about a little bit of can't go 100% in. So what was that moment when you were like, no, that's it. I'm doing this full time.
It was a long time coming. I didn't, you know, when I started seeing other people and I was no longer at Hinge, that was January, 2021. And my idea was like, all right, I want to do this podcast. I'm going to freelance to support myself. And I'm going to give myself like 6 months to see if I can make it work. I never even checked in at a 6 month point. I was like, all right, I'm making it work. This is great. Everything's going well. But I kept feeling like all of the freelance gigs that I had, all of my other clients, it was like, it was all like fighting for attention and for my creative energy. And it kept getting to a point where like, I'd feel so burned out that I wouldn't even be able to focus on seeing other people. And I'm like, well, this is my baby. This is the thing I'm trying to grow. And this is truly what I know I want my career to be. Like, I don't want to be doing the freelance stuff. I'm really just doing it to pay the bills. And so many times over the past year and a half, I've said like, all right, I'm not going to take on any more clients. I am going to like phase these out once these contracts are up, or, you know, once the projects are done, and then I'm just going to do seeing other people. And I probably tried to do that 6 times. And every single time another opportunity would come up and it would be like, well, the pay is too good to turn down. Or like, no, like I really like for me, I've been really afraid to take the leap and not have that guaranteed paycheck, not know what, you know, what my next month is going to look like. And so that's been really hard, but I've also kept saying to myself, like, I need to give 100% of my effort and my energy to this. Otherwise, it's never going to get to the place I want it to. And I have no doubt in my mind that this is what I want to be doing. And so, you know, it's been tough. Even the last few weeks, like I've had people ask me if I want to help out doing social for their companies or like if I or anybody I know would want to be doing things. And it's so hard for me to say no, because I feel like I'm programmed to say yes and to, you know, take on as much as I can. And I'm really proud of myself that I have said no thus far. And I think I'm hoping that by making that announcement that I made that I'm doing this full time, that will kind of put it out there like, okay, I don't want to freelance anymore. Like, please stop asking me. Because I do think, and I'm sure you can relate to this, like we are in a position where we're very fortunate. People know what we do. So people can come to us and say like, hey, I need help. And I know you're somebody who can help because we're so public about it.
No, I love everything that you said. I think there are a few like key moments that I took away. Like one is, you know, your no is just as important as your yes. And every time we say yes, we are taken away from something else that maybe our calling. And two, it's like, you're always going to have fears. Like, and I think that's what you have to like embrace, because so often I think as New Yorkers, like we get so comfortable with where we're at in life. And then we're like, okay, we're not growing, or we're not, you know, this is not serving us. But then that fear that comes in, you're like, oh my God, when is my next paycheck? And I really believe in the universe. And it's like, you wouldn't be in the position that you are in now if like you couldn't handle it. And the fact that like you're saying yes to yourself is such a powerful thing. So I don't really know you, but I'm proud of you for doing that as well. And I know it's just been a few weeks, but what has been your biggest challenge so far? Is it like a mindset thing? Is it scheduling? Is it doing your own, you know, podcast like full time? Like, what is it?
I feel like, you know, as I've been doing other freelance things on the side, like I do also feel like I've been doing this full time for a while in a way where like maybe I've saved the freelance stuff to like do at night or on the weekends or whatever. So it's not so much like, all right, I'm suddenly my own boss, but mm-hmm. I think the biggest part of my struggle is, well, shit, like I am responsible for, yes, this podcast and the social content and getting all of my things done, but also for my well-being. And so like last night I worked until like 9 PM and I was mm-hmm. so drained by the end of the day. And it's like, I can't blame anybody else. I can't mm-hmm. be like, oh, my boss made me stay late at work. Like right. I need to, you know, take the initiative to say, all right, if I have a podcast recording at 7 PM tonight, like I'm not going to start working until like 11 AM. Mm-hmm. Or I am going to take a break and go work out or go get dinner with a friend before. Like I need to, you know, remind myself that it's okay. I have to take care of my mental health and my sanity. Otherwise, I don't want to end up, you know, getting burnt out and resenting this. So that's, I think, going to be my biggest mm-hmm. challenge.
I love that you said that because people who are listening or watching, like obviously she and I are recording, but we also have another recording in like 2 hours after. And I like that we schedule breaks, yeah. just at least for me, because I was like, okay, we could do back to back, but I don't think I would be in the right mental state to just be fully present with you. So I love that we both are like taking care of our mental health because it really will show in the way we present ourselves, the way we show up. So I love that. I'm curious though, your boyfriend, did you guys meet on Hinge or what's the backstory?
Well, first I do want to say that this is why I'm glad that you scheduled it because I would have scheduled back to back. And then when the day came, I would have been like, why did I do this?
Yeah.
So thank you for, <You're welcome. laughs> for doing that. Yeah. So my boyfriend, his name's Jake. He and I did meet on Hinge and it was actually a few months after I wasn't working at Hinge, though we recently realized through screenshots of text messages that we had matched a year beforehand also on Hinge and never ended up messaging each other. Which is crazy, but yes, we matched on Hinge in January of 2021, like mm-hmm. literally a week after I started the podcast. And we actually, I didn't answer him. We matched a day later. He messaged me and I didn't answer him. And like a week later he followed up and mm-hmm. he was like, figured I'd try this again. How was your mm-hmm. weekend? And I ended up answering him then and we texted for a bit. He asked me on a date and I was like, this is going to sound fake, but I like really can't see you for like 6 weeks because it was really before vaccines were coming out. Like they were starting to roll out to like our parents, but you know, they were like trying really hard to get them. And my roommates and I at the time, we were going back and forth between the city and our parents' houses. So we agreed we weren't going to see anybody else. So I was like, I can't see you because of COVID, but I'll reach out when I can. Mm-hmm. And then beginning of February, I texted him. I don't think he ever thought he was going to hear from me again. I texted him and then we ended up going on a date on February 8th.
I love that. What is the biggest lesson you've learned in your dating history? Because I know we learn a lot through dating. We learn a lot about ourselves, what we want, what we don't want, what we're worth, what we deserve, what we allow people to treat us. But what is like the number one lesson that you were like, ooh, that really helped me change the way I approach dating or the way that I see myself or who I am today?
So this is a piece of advice that my mom actually taught me in high school. And I don't think I applied it to my dating life for a very long time. And it's, if you don't ask, you don't get. And it kind of circles back to communication. And mm-hmm. I think the most important thing in dating, whether it's from date one or, you know, a year of being together, a year of marriage, whatever it is like, you have to be open with this other person. They cannot read your mind. They do not know what you want, what you need, and you don't know what they want and what mm-hmm. they need. And you have to ask them if they're not telling you. And so really communicating and not being afraid to say if something doesn't feel good for you, if you're uncomfortable, if you feel anxious about something, like if you want a partnership to work, you need to be open about these things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we hear that all the time, right? Like communication is key, but it really, really is. And it's funny because I study communications, like we both went to Syracuse, but like, I still think it's something that I struggle with. And I'm not saying I'm poor at it, but I do think like every now and then there are moments when I'm like, oh, I'm afraid to communicate. Because I think sometimes when you communicate, or like what goes hand in hand with communication is honesty. And it takes like you have to be vulnerable sometimes when you're honest. And then when you're vulnerable, you're also in this really fragile place where you're like, is this person going to judge me? Are they going to like truly, truly, you know, accept me, or am I going to be seen and heard? And it is only when you're comfortable with your own insecurities and when your own, you know, I don't know, like thoughts, and you can communicate with them and not feel like you need permission or approval from them. You're just being like, hey, I'm just letting you know. But it is hard. And I think in relationships as well, it's like a daily task. And we don't think about it, but it's like, even in any relationship, right? Romantic, platonic, professional, even this, it's like all about communicating. So yeah, I agree with you 100%.
It's funny because like we both went to communication school, you know, but communicating is still even something that like we have to remind ourselves to do and to learn. And it's really difficult. And like the unfortunate fact is that most people were not ever taught how to communicate. And, you know, maybe, okay, whatever, we studied communications, but growing up, we weren't necessarily taught to communicate our feelings all the time. And, you know, I see this happen a lot, especially when like, you know, women are dating men or and like anybody's dating a man. And there's this feeling of like, well, he shuts down if I try and have a conversation with him, or I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know what he's feeling. He won't tell me. My listeners are asking me all the time, like, how can I get this guy to open up? Or like, I'm opening up and he's not, like, why not? And it's because guys especially were not ever taught to communicate, and they were taught to, you know, be strong no matter what and not show their emotions. And so that makes dating even that much harder when you do need to express your emotions and share what's going on in your head and share how you're feeling in order to be on the same page or to understand the other person's intentions.
Absolutely. And what people don't realize is that men and women, we are literally wired differently. Yeah. Like I'm living in my own body. So like all I have are my thoughts, my mind, and same with you. And obviously we have more similarities than a man, but they just think with logic and we think with emotions. And that's one thing I've learned. Like if I'm communicating an emotional need or concern and they're responding with logic, like it's just never going to work out because we're literally communicating in different languages. And that's one thing that I think it's hard because like we're literally wired and programmed differently. So yeah, you have to find that just create your own language, right? In terms of like, how can I understand you and how can you understand me? But no, I get it.
It's tough. I heard this metaphor maybe like a year ago, and I bring it up as much as I can because I think it is brilliant. It's that a man's brain is like a waffle. You pour syrup on it and the syrup goes into the different compartments and stays there.
Okay.
It doesn't, you know, mix up. It stays in the compartments of the waffle. A woman's brain is like a spaghetti. You pour sauce on spaghetti, it goes around the entire thing. And that's what happens with like anything that happens in our lives. Like we overthink, like we consider every possible option. We're thinking about, okay, how will this affect me? How will this affect that person and them? And, you know, and guys are just like, oh, like, okay.
Yeah. And I know another thing that I heard a lot, and I'm sure you have too. It's like when you tell your partner, you know, what you're going through, it's like, a key question that would be helpful for guys would be like, do you want me to listen or do you want advice? Because so often I'm like, I'm not looking for a solution. I just want you to validate what I'm saying and tell me that it's okay and I'm right in feeling what I'm feeling. So it's really interesting to see the dynamic between men and women, how this plays in relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that point though. And that's something that I started really practicing over the last year or so, where like, especially when it comes to dating, I think now that I'm somebody who is in a relationship, I don't want to ever come across as like preaching to my friends or like, well, like it's all going to work out. Or, you know, also because I like talk about dating for a living, I want my friends to know that they can still come to me and like vent without me having my like podcast persona on and giving them advice. But sometimes they do want advice. So what I really have started doing is saying like, do you want me to just listen or do you want my advice? And I love think that really, really empowers people to share what they need and what they want and feel comfortable with whatever their intention is in that conversation.
That's such a good point. It's not always just with like your partner or in your relationships. It's also like in friendships, because so often it's like, I think a lot of times we as humans want to feel like we're useful and we want to feel like what we're saying matters. And we just unconsciously or like unintentionally just give our advice when the other person hasn't asked for it. So that's really important to just know, like, do you want me to actually give you advice or do you want me to just like be a good friend and support you and listen to you? So I love that. Exactly. So my podcast is called The City Confessions, and I love bringing on my guests, you know, share their story and share their backgrounds, but then to also share a confession. And this can be anything. It can be deep, dark, silly. But I guess a question that I often lead with is like, maybe what is something that you're afraid to admit, or is something that is a misconception about you that a lot of people don't know, or a fun fact, however you want to receive this. But Ilana, what is your city confession?
So this is something that I actually asked Jake about this. I think it was maybe in a podcast interview. Somebody wanted to know what, you know, was a misconception about me in his mind, or what's something that surprised him as he got to know me. And he said that I am not confident. And, you know, he really thought when he met me that I was this like confident person who like felt really good putting myself out there. And the more he got to know me, the more he realized like I freak out about everything. I am a ball of anxiety. Like I overthink so much. And I think that's a really big misconception, not just about me, but about most people who put themselves out there on social media. I am not confident at all in anything I do. I am so surprised that people listen to my podcast, because I don't think I don't think I'm good at it. And I can't even listen to my own episodes because I'm so critical of myself. So I think that's one thing, you know, in that touches on a lot of aspects of my life, where it's like, I think people really make this assumption about me and it's totally not.
I'm just nodding because I 100% agree with you. I mean, considering that I took my break, I think in June, so I've had 2 months off and I was doing it like you, like nonstop. But I'm not gonna lie, when you reached out and I was listening to some of your episodes, like I was getting nervous too. Like beforehand, I was like intimidated because a lot of people that I invite, they're not podcasters or podcast hosts. You know, they're just, not just, let me rephrase. Yeah. They're like brand managers or like entrepreneurs or like these like amazing people. And I'm like, okay, cool. They're worth interviewing. You know, they like that. But I'm like, to interview another podcast host, like I honestly was getting intimidated and I was like, like I'm not that confident too. But then I had to just kind of like gas myself up and I'm like, no, I'm a badass. I've been doing this for years. Like I know exactly what I'm doing. But I think anytime I personally take a break, like I do almost forget the groove of things and how much I love this, you know? So like I relate to you because trust me, before this I was like, and we're recording my episode first. So I was like, I don't know how that's going to be. And like, I feel like I'm setting the tone. So I'm excited to be on yours, but like just putting it out there, I'm a little nervous.
Well, okay. Let me tell you, I've been sitting here admiring how you're leading this conversation
because thanks.
It's been so conversational. And I feel like that's something that I sometimes struggle with, especially over Zoom. And like 90% of my interviews are over Zoom, but I feel like sometimes it's hard to, you know, have such a back and forth because I don't want to be interrupting somebody in their train of thought, but sometimes there's not that organic moment to cut in and have that back and forth. So this whole time I've been sitting here being like, wow, she's so good at this.
Thanks.
Like I need to take notes.
No, but I think for two things it helps with me. Well, first of all, when I first started, my number one rule was to do interviews in person. And obviously it was like all about the city. So everybody was living in New York at the time, but then COVID happened. And then now it's just much easier to schedule. But then two, I don't really, like sometimes people say like, can you send me a list of questions, which you didn't do, but I don't really have a list of questions because the way I approach it is like, if you and I met for coffee,
right.
I'm not like, I'm going to ask Ilana X, Y, and Z. Like, we'll just see where the conversation flows. And of course I have key questions like your confession and like what's the biggest lesson you've learned, but you just never know where the conversation takes you. And I think that's the beautiful part. You do have to like wish and hope there's no like awkwardness, but yeah, so I appreciate that.
It's so like a date.
We're dating right now.
Yeah, we're on a first date and it's going great, and we're gonna have a second one. We already have plans.
I love it. So I did this like quick fire round of New York City questions in my previous seasons, but because this is a new season and since you are like a dating expert, I decided to do like a Never Have I Ever New York City edition with you. So do you mind if we play both games?
Oh my God, really quick, please. And I also love games, so like, bring it on.
Okay, so the first one, I just have five quick questions and you answer it with one word. And it's all about New York City because, again, we're in New York. Okay, so if you can describe New York City in one word, what would it be?
A lot.
Love it. What's your favorite thing about the city?
One word is so hard.
Or like one phrase.
There are always new people to meet.
Love it. And your least favorite thing?
Cars and trucks honking all day and night long.
What's your go-to spot?
The Carl Schurz Dog Park.
Okay, cute. And if you can thank New York City for one thing, what would it be?
Oh, just like being there for me in my 20s through the ups and the downs. And I feel like I've grown so much and I don't know if I would have grown this much somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. Now we're going to do the Never Have I Ever. We're not going to ask any questions. Okay. Just say you have or you haven't. No judgments. Okay. Never have I ever had a one night stand in New York City.
I have.
Never have you ever puked in public in New York City.
I have.
Ghosted someone?
I have.
Made a fake account, stalk an ex or somebody you're seeing?
I haven't.
Okay. And talked with a match or swiped on a match while you were on a date?
I have.
Okay. Love it. I feel like I agree with all of you, except that I haven't puked in public. Well, have I? In Syracuse.
Well, if I don't remember it, does it really count?
True. I love it.
Look, not in like 6 years, you guys. It was right post-college.
Absolutely. I feel like I could talk to you forever, but like with Zoom, there's like a 40-minute little requirement. But just like a few more things left before we like absolutely wrap up. So, okay, we'll do the if you have anything going on, and then I'll ask you the final question. I know you obviously you're pursuing your Seeing Other People podcast full time, but do you have anything that you're currently working on, and what can the world be on the lookout from you, Alana, in these next in the last quarter of 2022, which is insane.
You know, just continuing to grow the podcast, get it out there to more people, make it better, make it bigger, and put, you know, as much of myself in it as I can. Beyond that, we'll see. I don't know. I'm excited to see what happens.
I love that. I love that you definitely have a plan, but you're also not saying like X, Y, and Z needs to happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, you just never know. And the beauty of it is the fact that you are open. And, you know, you attract whatever you think you deserve and whatever you want. So I love that. Okay. And my final question, because I always want to bring it back to my guests and end on a high, high note. What is the one thing you love most about yourself, Ilana?
Oh my God. I like that question, but I never think about these things.
I know, because
that's why I like it, because like forces me.
We never compliment ourselves, and it's so funny because every time I ask my guests, like they get so uncomfortable.
I'm like emotional over it.
No, but it's true though. Oh my God, there has to be like a whole list that you're literally going through in your mind, not like.
No, it's like coming up empty.
No.
I think oh my God, why is this so hard? I think that I'm just like, I'm always open to new experiences and okay. No, here it is. I always try and see the good in people.
Mm. Yeah. That's such a beautiful trait to have. And I think it just like carries on with also like the people that you meet. Like this is our first time meeting, but you have like such a great energy about you. And I love how natural this conversation was. And again, I feel like I can have a whole other episode with you. We're just crunched on time. But I do appreciate you coming on to be my first guest of season 8. What a great way to kick off. And yeah, so for everybody listening and watching, thank you so much for tuning in. I'm going to have all of Ilana's information in the show notes. So be sure to expand on that, her socials, her podcast, and anything else that she has coming up. I'll definitely link it. But with that being said, thank you so much, Ilana. I appreciate you. And stay tuned for next week's episode. All right, bye.
Bye.
Let me just click stop.